Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 15th of November, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. And the conversation today on this World News Tuesday, Mr. Mark Palmer is joining me again.
Good morning, Erin. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Our second guest co-host, Gail Hanna, is unavailable to join us this morning, but she is coming back without a doubt. And we say good morning to Miss Hanna. I got to say good morning to a couple of people this morning. Happy birthday to Janice Ramsey, Vandalyn Forbes, and Marina Esfakis. And I got to say a couple of happy belated birthdays to my good cousin, Brendan Mitchell. Happy birthday, cuz. To Denise Lowe, to Kira Horton, and to Paul G. Turnquest, among many others who have celebrated birthdays over the last few days. I also have another housekeeping note before we get started. Mr. Palmer, on November the 20th, 2022, there will be a health fair hosted by the Adventist Layman's Services and Industries Bahamas and another organization, but in the interest of time, let's get going. November the 20th, 2022, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Bahamas Academy on Marshall Road. Listen, this is a free community event designed to promote and encourage healthy lifestyles. And the services offered: dental services,
ooh,
eye services, blood glucose testing, blood pressure testing, weight and BMI checks, and health talks. When they say blood pressure testing, they're not testing to see how high your blood pressure could go up. The Minister of Works on People's Nerves will not be at the health fair this year.
So what do they do for the teeth? That's what I want to know, because
I could be
interested in that.
Yeah, I have to go and find out. It just says dental services, but I imagine you can just manage our expectations, right? Probably do assessments, do checks, cavity checks, you know, and then give you maybe a rudimentary cleaning, possibly, out there. But let's manage our expectations, because I'm ready to go get a whole dental workup, right?
I hear you, because I got a little crown that needs a bit of work on it, but it's like $800.
What?
To get that fixed, right?
Wow.
Teeth is expensive.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't understand why, because we need teeth. And if you don't think like you think, listen, you worry about your teeth and I can worry about my teeth, right? Like that's the general attitude, right?
Yeah.
But everybody appreciates a smile, you know?
That's true.
And we appreciate when other people can smile and when they feel good smiling, right? Mm-hmm. That makes us feel good when we know somebody is having a good experience and you could tell by their smile. So it's an investment, you know.
I agree. Yeah, I had a friend of mine, he invested in his smile, right? He did. He got his top teeth whitened, right?
Yeah.
And they looked amazing. In fact, they looked a little too white.
Yeah.
And then he fell out with his friend who was a dentist.
Uh-huh.
And she refused to do his bottom teeth. So when he smiled, I had to do a half smile, right? Only the top teeth.
Yeah, he should be able to sue her, though. Like on the grounds of cruelty. That's what, first of all, that's a relationship. From you become my dentist.
But he's in the Bahamas and she's in the U.S., you see.
So the law, look here, the law could work. In fact, we can talk about that a little bit because I'm sure that the U.S. and the Bahamas governments are cooperating on this FTX matter, right?
Oh, yeah.
We could cooperate on all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I see you there, caller. Give me a moment, a last couple of notes. Dear Pothole Hotline, Ministry of Works Road Traffic Pothole Hotline. I really like the Pothole Hotline. I do. I really like it. At the same time, we shouldn't need it because you should have a team of people whose job it is just to drive up and down New Providence, determining, monitoring, and documenting what needs to be done. That should be somebody's job. We shouldn't have to do the work for you. We'll do it because we're tired of breaking up our cars unnecessarily, even though people are being paid to maintain the roads. We're going to do it. So potholes is pothole in front of PMH. Now, I just want to say that there's a pothole ecosystem in front of PMH. It's not just one pothole. It's a patch of pothole-y ground, right? This is a perfect example of patching one pothole is not going to solve your problem. You'll need to go into the pothole garden and figure out what's wrong with the road right there in front of the main entrance to PMH. The patching is not working. Also, Mackey Street in front of the library and also in front of the pole immediately preceding the Salvation Army if you're heading south on Mackey Street from Shirley Street. There's also a pothole in front of the point. Now, we know this in front of the point is not a pothole either. Right, it's a reoccurring hole in the ground, which suggests that either the layout, the infrastructure, and the road there is improper, ineffective, not sufficient, or whoever is patching that is not doing it properly. Right, but something needs to be done. Why? Because those big, large trucks coming from the port, they like to ignore all of the lines in the road, despite the fact that the road is all there's already a provision for large vehicles coming around that bend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so drivers heading westbound tend to veer into the eastbound lane to avoid that massive hole. Also, in front of CIBC on Shirley Street opposite the U.S. Embassy compound, that is also another reoccurring pothole. A clear indication that somebody is not taking the job seriously enough. Now, I know somebody is probably saying, well, why would we put the energy into fixing that if the U.S. Embassy has not completed its project there? Because that's what y'all like to tell us. Just fix it. Mm. Fix it. We don't care if you have to fix it again. Fix it properly the first time. Because y'all always seem to forget that you were supposed to fix it when the project was finished. Also, last housekeeping note. On the way into the office this morning, I like saying office. I pretend like I have a real job. On the way into the office this morning, approaching Shirley and Village and Eastern Road Access Way, this black vehicle was sort of making a nice pace, attempting to turn onto Shirley Street from the East Bay Street Access Way. We blew our horn just to let him know that we had no intention of stopping, especially since we didn't have to stop. We had the right of way. I don't understand why this boy would cuss at us because we wanted to make sure that he avoided an accident. Like, we wanted to make sure that whatever state he was in that rendered this recklessness about him, that we could all avoid an accident, you know? But he decided he wanted to cuss at us. I don't know why he was having such a bad day, but something flashed through my mind between there and Shirley and Mackey watching constant cars just turning right on red. First of all, this could not be a Christian nation. It could not be. Y'all could not be living in the faith. Y'all could not be. It just don't make any sense. The second thing is this. What if GTA, you know, video game, Grand Theft Auto? Mm. What if GTA is the new moral threshold? Right? That's the lowest common denominator. This is what is acceptable in the minds, in the consciousness of today's average driver. If you don't know what Grand Theft Auto is, it is a explicit adult video game. Basically, people who drive cars and steal cars and use cars in crimes, right? Grand Theft Auto. And it feels like that has become the moral threshold.
Yeah, you'd imagine the kind of psychology that you, the consciousness you create when you play that game, and then you think that when you turn it off, right, you go into your car, that somehow you switch that off.
Yeah.
Or it is still running under, you know,
right.
The program is run subconsciously. So the first thing you do when you get out there, you start revving and doing all kind of like foolishness.
Absolutely. And you know, I think it extends beyond that, right? And because we sort of use it to moderate. If I'm not, you know, the behavior hasn't reached that level, it's okay. It's acceptable. It's tolerable, right? And so it made me think, because we're going to talk about our Fyre Festival friend, Billy McFarlane, Mr. William Billy McFarlane, the creator of the notorious Fyre Festival on Exuma that led to a six-year prison sentence, plans to return to the Bahamas for another event he's calling PYRT, which I am now going to pronounce as pirate, because PYRT, that's...
Yeah.
Right. And so it sort of made me think that somebody was sitting there thinking, yeah, but his crime wasn't that bad, right? Like
it 6 years.
It wasn't knocking somebody down with a car, right? It wasn't murder, right?
And the other thing is there's 178 countries out there, right? So, but he's coming here.
Yeah.
Out of 178, you know, he's got a lot of other options. Really, he's got Barbados, he's got Jamaica, he's got plenty of other Caribbean islands he could come to, right? But why us?
And it's supposed to be a global project, right? Mm. And so he's hiding 99 bottles across the world. I've seen images online that purport, right? I can't confirm, I wasn't there, that purport to be the winner of one of the legs of the competition, saying that they had found their bottle in the Bahamas, right, in Exuma. It didn't indicate, I think it said that he himself never came to Exuma, right? But, you know, that's what was going on. And I think, like, how do you pull off a Fyre Festival, spend 4 years in jail when you're supposed to spend more? I think you were sentenced to six, you get four, and then you come back out and you say, you know what?
Same old thing.
Let's try this again.
A different way.
What is missing? I don't think it's something exclusive to the Bahamas, right? I don't think it's we could do that in the Bahamas.
But we have to have approval, right? Every country has to give approval for that scheme.
Oh, yeah, I mean, for any type of, in fact, in case you all didn't know, any type of business activity, approval must be given, especially if it's a foreigner. Right, because a lot of activity is restricted to Bahamians only. There's special rules for the participation of foreigners. You cannot, no matter what you think and what the impression the government would like you to have, you can't just come to the Bahamas and set up shop.
Well, the thing that was interesting in the paper today was that he's still considered to be a fugitive, right? Inverted commas. And he, due to several pending complaints made against him with the Royal Bahamas police force. So there's clearly something unfinished business, right, with this fella. And then he could still come back here and put in his business license or whatever it is that he did to seek this approval, right?
But no, I don't think he put in any business license. And I think, I don't think he did.
Okay.
And so I wonder, what is the business makeup? Now, there is, for those who are interested in the conversation, right, I think it's either Eyewitness News or Our News that I was listening to, there was an interview, right, with a business person, I think, or a member of the Exuma community, a Bahamian resident in Exuma. Maybe it was even in a Tribune article, right? But it suggested that people on the ground are aware and a welcoming sort of any business opportunity once it's legit and done the right way. I don't think that that everybody in Exuma is as mad at Mr. McFarlane and the Fyre Festival fiasco, you know. And I don't want to use the word desperate, right? But are eager to explore opportunities and, you know, take advantage.
And you can't blame them.
No, and that's it. Yeah. You can't blame them. I think the government has, this is when we bring the government into the conversation, right? No, the government isn't supposed to give people jobs. Like, that's not their job, to give people jobs. They're supposed to create an environment, right, where people can find work or create work, right? Whether it's a job or an industry, they can, a career or an industry, they can create work. They provide the environment with legal mechanisms, right, with institutional mechanisms, maybe agencies, oversight committees, things like that, to manage the space, to regulate the space. Government should be open and receptive to ideas being generated in the community, and should be forward-thinking, shouldn't wait for people to say, hey, the government should be able to say, hey, look here, we noticed that there are 15 mechanic shops or industrial-style businesses in this area that have developed over the last 12 years. Have you considered, right, what are the options available? Petitioning to have this area designated commercial or industrial commercial. Mm-hmm. Have you considered creating an association, setting up some framework, lobbying for concessions, right? Would you like the government's assistance or referrals to reputable agencies, businesses, and business communities in the global north, in the global south, right?
And this is where the embassies come in, right? Because they provide that. So they usually have a commercial section that...
Absolutely, that says, hey, listen, we notice that there's burgeoning activity in this specific area. Would you like us to connect you with some of the industry leaders in the U.S., in, let's say, the East Coast, the Eastern Starboard, closest to you, and across the continental U.S., right? Like, forward-thinking, proactive, not responsible for employment itself or the thinking, but...
The framework.
Right. And given the current political and governance model, right, which is we like things that are easy to tax... In the long run, doing the work helps the government because you're facilitating the creation of an industry that can facilitate government activity through taxation, but more importantly, can provide a space for employment, right? A space for career development, opportunities for. And that's how government should be working with the people. I got a text here. Morning, Aaron. We the land of the conks. What a time. Now, dear texter, give me a second. Let me read this other text and go to the phone line. Clear my head, and then we're going to come back to that. I got another text says, when you play Monopoly, do you feel rich? Yes, I do feel rich, but not because of the paper money in my hands, but because of the tears of my enemies that I have collected on the Monopoly table. I am rich with power, understanding my place in the hierarchy. Right? And the question is, you know, is it money or power? Are they mutually exclusive? Can you have one without the other? But no, I do feel rich. You need to come play with me so I could feel even richer, Texter. Let's go to this call. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
What's up, mate? Oh, godly day to start getting away so long with you and your guests, Aaron.
Good morning, Brayden.
Good morning.
We need justice, law, and order in the Bahamas.
Yes, sir.
A couple of things I want to say, right? First, I want to ask, why the gentleman don't just pay the people that he owed over here? Why is it that he's so hard to come back?
Oh, you mean the McFarlane gentleman?
Because it wasn't a lot of money, was it? It was like, what, 100 grand?
Say it again?
It wasn't a huge amount of money. He could have paid that back, right?
I mean, if he had it.
Yeah.
I don't think he had it.
So what do you want to do? Come over here to make it?
Well, here's the thing, Bremen. I think he's smarter than that. I think he realized that he can't come over here, but he could still possibly make money without coming out over here. But we own this only supposition, right?
Well, look here. How the bottle got over here, and he already been bad from over here.
Mm-hmm. Well, did he send the bottle with somebody?
I got you. Now, my other question is, yeah. My other point is, right?
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to carbon, right?
Carbon footprint. Yes.
Right? When it comes to that, the thing is, we weigh billions of dollars. So I don't want them, and a lot of people should be with me here. We should not be settling for one little lousy 20%.
I got you. I got you, Bremen. I'm going to get into that conversation a little later. I need to get some more. I need to learn more about the mechanisms involved, and I want to bring some sort of carbon experts on the show with me. Because it's very fascinating, right? It appears as if right now we're in a wonderful position. We've got blue carbon, we got green carbon, and potentially gray carbon credits to amass as well. And so before we get, you know, to that conversation, let me just say to the Bahamian people, if I was me, what I was going to do is, wherever I find unregulated standing water in my community or on my property due to dereliction of duty by the state and relevant environmental authorities, right? Like if I lived in Pinewood, for instance, I would turn the whole of Pinewood into a national, not national, because then it'd have to go into consolidated fund. That don't make any sense. I turn that into a pond. I call it my pond, and I'm registering it for blue or green carbon credits, right? And what we need to figure out how to do is how to generate those carbon credits outside of the government's mechanism, right? Because I'd hate, for one instance, for the government to think that they're going to take our carbon credits and put it in the consolidated fund. I mean, the 10-meat fund. I mean, the Bahamian people don't see it fund, right? I don't think that makes any sense, but if we as private citizens could designate bodies of water as carbon-generating entities, then maybe we could trade
for our communities.
For our communities, separate from the consolidated fund.
Good luck with that one, Aaron. That's an interesting idea.
I mean, I'm just saying, because I get one part of my yard right now I'm about to call Lake Green. Right? And we're going to have to figure out how to do something with it. And maybe that's what we need to do. Right? Maybe we need to force the government to acquire the land necessary to make their carbon credit plan work. Because, I mean, I don't want to put it in the 10-meat fund and I don't even eat meat. That don't make any sense. But let's go to this caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning. I'm Aaron. Good morning. Farmer.
Good morning. How you do?
Good morning.
I'm fine. Why get to my point? Did you find out what caused all that backup out west yesterday?
Out east, from the east. You know about
yeah.
that? Yeah, tell us.
Did you find out? No report what caused all that backup?
No, I didn't find out. This morning, I left 45 minutes earlier, and the traffic seemed to be moving faster than it did the day before at approximately 9:15 a.m.
Yeah, I heard it this morning. No reporter reported what caused all that out west. I know they put some construction of Glaston Road.
Okay.
And I found out that wasn't the case.
Ah, so there was a massive back. You're saying there's a massive backup out west as well yesterday?
Yeah, out west. That's
yeah.
Out west. Yeah, but Eric, nothing could be really blind. You talk about climate change. Before we do that, let's proceed with local government and do Providence. And habitat with the climate change, so we ourselves could say what we want in our area. You have some brilliant idea. I listened to you before I call.
Yeah.
And I said those brilliant ideas could fall into a form of local government.
In fact, you would need the local government mechanism to be able to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
So you could talk about this. You talk about this. If the people, if I can't say what I want in my area, you're great ideas. Can I say what you want in your area? Palmer ideas. I don't know where you live. Look at this south. But he wanted to say, this is what I want, apply with the other group in mm-hmm. their area, and they could vote on it.
Yeah.
He saw the other day in Florida where they fire the, what do you call it, one of the head. I don't know if you spotted her in Florida news.
No, I scared of DeSantis.
Yeah, they fire her.
Oh,
we
wow.
want to do that. And our district, we want, you know, we want to play a role.
Oh, I got you. In the midterm elections, they got rid of their representative.
No, there wasn't an election. Okay. She was on the board somewhere, in the planning board.
Okay, I got you. Yeah.
Right, you could say it if you go to Florida News. But the point if I'm making is this what we want. I want a say. I want to say how I want this road to be.
Pumpkin Eater, let me jump off from there. Let's get back into the crypto discussion.
Okay.
Do you think that this requires a referendum, right? Or that level of public consultation? Like, should the question of the Bahamas government and financial services industry engaging cryptocurrencies, should that question have been put to the people?
Yes. And this is the local government coming, because all these things affect me and you who live in our environment.
Yeah.
Whether it be financial environment or other social environment.
See,
I almost invest in it, and I'm sure a lot of people think like me almost invest in it.
Well, you're living good. Hold on. You had money to invest in cryptocurrency? Don't say it out loud. I just changed my life.
I said almost.
Okay, good.
Right. I didn't invest in it, but I know it's good to invest in shit. I do that for a young man. But what I'm trying to say is, from a local perspective,
yeah,
we could plan what we want to plan, even in terms of business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
So we
thank you, Pumpkin Eater.
Have a good day.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
But ultimately, do we have, I hear what he's saying, but do we have the experience at a local level to even talk about things like crypto? That's why you need the Financial Services Board. You need the experts, the specialists, who are, and part of government's job is to go out there, find new industries, find new opportunities. And, when you look at technology, we're so far behind. We adapt, things mm-hmm. like phones, we've got very high smartphone adoption, but in terms of training our young to be coders into STEM, the technology, the jobs that are really driving all the innovation, we haven't really done that. And so, in the big scheme of things, the government embracing the concept of crypto is not actually a bad idea, because, it's bringing us up into the 21st century. Mm-hmm. I think when we're going to talk about this, a lot of it comes down to governance again, right?
Yeah.
The kind of what kind of level of due diligence do they do with some of these partners? Because mm-hmm. when we talk about FTX, they duped a lot of people, or would appear to have duped the best in the field, the brightest minds.
Listen,
let's
go to that, because I'm asking myself, if mm-hmm. Scaramucci figured out in after 10 days that he couldn't work with Trump, right? Why did it take Scaramucci over 3 years to figure out that something was wrong?
Because he liked him. And you see, this is the trouble. You buy from people you like.
Yeah.
And he is a very, I've seen him interviewed, I've seen him in action, I've seen him on Twitter. And he's, people embrace these kind of unusual young people who seem to, really understand this new technology
and are
game changing. Because, he created I think it's the second largest exchange.
Mm-hmm.
But for a lot of people out there, crypto is a mystery. Has very low adoption,
which makes,
right?
Which makes that amenability, mm-hmm. that character a bonus, because people tend to, I like him, I trust him,
I want.
Let's get to this call.
Yeah, go for it.
Did we all miss the red flags is the question. Mm-hmm. Good morning, caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Green, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks, how you do?
And to your guest, very knowledgeable guest.
Yes, sir.
But let me tell you something. People in life too gullible when it comes mm-hmm. to this crypto. Everything new would come out, Everybody want to get rich. Everybody broke off running. Instead of we, as island people, sit back and watch how it pan out. It's just like the COVID shot. It's just like the ductless air conditioners would keep breaking out. That's like the new flat screen TV. Instead of we watch the market and see what can happen. No, everybody's go broke off running. And I feel sorry for them. You understand? But now you, Aaron Green.
Yes, sir.
I always hear you come on the radio doing a good thing in terms of potholes and this and that and the next thing. But Bahamians just forget. We just forget too quick. That's true with Fred Mitchell's say. Do we learn? When last you see a government truck pick up garbage? When last you see a government truck fix the pothole in the road? When last you see government people
now,
do things?
Now, I can be honest with you. Every once in a while, I see the red plate patching. Every once in a while, I see the red plate patch in the road, but not enough.
But you know what I'm trying to say, right?
Yeah, yeah.
These fellas and got this town so DVDV up and stuff, and they got all the private companies doing what you saying the government should do.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't expect nothing from the government.
But I expect them to go and inspect, right? Because before the check is, before the payment is, the final payment is given, I'm almost certain somebody's supposed to go and inspect that the work has been done and has been done properly. That's a government person.
I totally agree with you, but they probably got outsourced inspectors inspecting their inspectors. I go on that one.
Yes, sir. That ain't far off at all. I see we got a call, another caller there, producer, but we may have lost him. Caller, please call back. I am sorry we missed you.
I mean, he is right about gullible. You know, we are gullible, and we love get rich schemes. You know, that's
now,
just
okay,
human
now,
nature. That is just human nature.
Okay,
Aaron.
But let's no, I know.
And you have to really just hold, take a deep breath when everyone else is, you know, at the beginning of every scam, right? Everyone's making money, right? And you have to hold your breath and say, you know.
Okay, so
you know what I'm saying, right?
I mean, I know what you're saying, but I want to bring a different perspective to it, right?
Okay,
because I asked a question yesterday. It's a valid question. Are we too gullible? Are we inherently gullible, right? But what if we like a good Ponzi scheme, but because of a degradation in our education system, we no longer can navigate a good Ponzi scheme safely?
Yeah, because we don't have our critical thinking skills.
Right.
I had to learn them. You know, school didn't teach me critical thinking. I had to go and learn them online. You know, you go on YouTube. There's a lot of stuff you can do to teach yourself about logical fallacies, all those things. But it takes an investment from us because our government, our schools are not teaching it. They say we're teaching critical thinking. So
watch this.
Yeah.
I feel you. We're not teaching it. I think a lot of people are having experiences, right, where they can pick it up, they can garner it, they could practice it. But outside of a cohesive system that says, hey, this is actually what you're doing, a number of people don't realize that's what they're doing, and a lot of people don't pick up on it, right? But you go and you watch three games. You go watch these people play checkers or chess. Watch them play chess, because people aren't playing checkers that checkers, not chess that much. That's a separate gameplay. But watch people playing checkers, dominoes, and backgammon, right? Watch them throwing dice. Watch them using, testing probability and statistics constantly. They have critical thinking skills in that narrow framework, right? Like they get it, they understand
it. Yeah. They learn it as you play the game, right?
It may take them a little longer to begin applying it to the rest of their lives, right?
Like Connect Four, you know?
Yeah. But like driving.
Yeah.
Right? And so one of the things I talked about.
But how do you build a critical skill, thinking skill, in this cryptocurrency realm, which most people can't even understand? People don't understand what decentralized finance is, what the blockchain is, but all they see is these money, people making money. And so it's, you know, it's like the tulip. We've had these things in the Dutch. Remember the Dutch back in the 1600s? They had a tulip. I think everyone was buying tulips. Tulips were selling for $10,000 in today's term. And then the whole market tanked. Right?
Absolutely. In fact, look here. You know that's chapter 3 in Botany of Desire, right? I finally found my copy. I knew it hadn't disappeared. You know, I knew it wasn't stolen. Finally found my copy. But so chapter 3 is about the tulip craze, right? And how the market rose and how it fell. But how tulips convince or tulips seduce the collective human imagination to believe that tulips were the most valuable thing on the planet, mm-hmm. right? It's a fascinating story. But let's get to yep. this phone line and then get to some more text. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning to both of you, Seattle and Johnson.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning.
Doing okay. Just wanted to know that the argument for carbon credits has been going in the Bahamas since the early 2000s when I returned home.
Mm-hmm.
We were fighting Bahama rock. And we talked about the seagrass and the mangroves and stuff, and most people thought, even the environmentalists in the Bahamas thought, myself and others, were tree huggers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be very careful with the carbon credits. But where you talked about, and this is where it is that the carbon credits is directly integrated in, that we're talking about now, is directly integrated into the FDX, only for the goodness of time. We would most likely have deposited our assets on the FTX, and they would have given us some tokens, and saying they'd be investing, and it would have been resources that would have been borrowed and sent abroad.
Mm-hmm.
This is why it's important that these investment bills and things we have, that a conversation be happened. Here's what a sovereign wealth fund is. A sovereign wealth fund is nothing more than a holding company for all assets in the Bahamas, all natural resources, seen and unseen, tangible and intangible, known and unknown, including BPL, including the water company, and any shares we may own in any other company. What happens then is you get a sovereign asset management company that has no ties, no appointments, anything from government.
See, Alan.
Yes.
That's too much, man.
No, this is very simple. Because there's only two companies. You just want them to understand the political people will never do what is right. They will do what is necessary to be reelected. And so it's very simple to simply say, we must demand that a properly constituted sovereign wealth fund be created, just a holding company.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way I've said all the time. If I was to win $1 million, I'd come and see Anthony Ferguson to manage it for me. He would not have me calling him, telling him how to run his company and everything else. And simply put, he take a percentage of the gain he has on that asset.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we simply have to have is these conversations where we continuously going to repeat the same thing and the same thing, misappropriation, they're going to tell you they're going to fix this and fix whatever. But that is not what sovereign wealth fund does. But in ending, I just want you to know, you say you people have gone away from the FTX deal. I want people, see, because you have a lot of people who don't have institutional memory. And if your reporters are listening in the studio, I want them to not only look up Bernie Madoff, mm-hmm. I want them to look up Bernie Cornfield,
yeah.
I want them to look up Robert Vesco with iOS and others, that these are similar, so similar. It's scary. And guess where they all happen?
Where?
Right here in our Bahamas.
No, sir.
Yeah, these all have ties. But there's a host, the same as IFTO.
Okay, but see, Alan, let me be a little bossy and say that's what I want to talk about, right? What I want to talk about is if we have a culture of wrecking, right? Why don't we document it? We are not only, you know, doomed to repeat the history that we refuse to learn and remember, but we're doomed to repeat it in multiple ways, right? And I think that's that's one of the most important things that you said, you know, this morning, is that if we don't know our own actual history, these things will continue to happen. And that's why this issue of transparency, not just like the collective social transparency telling the stories, but at the top, the government transparency. That's why these things are so important, because people need to know why their lives are unfolding the way that they're unfolding. They need to know how these large national events impact them, have resulted in policies that impact them, have resulted in political culture that impacts them. These are the things that people need to know to make more critical mm-hmm. decisions in their own lives and in their country.
And yeah, but this is why it's important that they be educated. But we've made some very important things concerning freedom of information, anti-corruption, transparency, and the likes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Integrity bills. And so what happens is, here it is that we had for 5 years before the FNM that they said they was going to do it. The FNM came and said it's going to do it. Now that you said they can do it, they haven't done it because we haven't demanded it. In fact, there can be no digital Bahamas, no digital economy without anti-corruption, anti-trust, transparency, accountability, all of these different things.
Exactly.
So the people don't know the ingredients. They will be impressed by the look. They have to know what it takes to put into the ingredients for it to be effective. This is why people have been waiting for a digital Bahamas for almost 30 years, and despite $1 billion or $2 billion being spent, you can't even get a paper document.
And look here, and see, Alan, I got to go to a break, right? And, you know, man, what you said was so powerful, right? Mm-hmm. We can't have an industry if we're going to continue to just wreck it. If the people with the most power, with the most access, with the most affluence and influence just see an opportunity to get rich as opposed to an obligation or a potential commitment to grow an industry, a collective space for everybody to share in the Commonwealth. So I want to thank you, C. Allen, for that contribution. I glad my producer hang up on you, so now I could tell you without you responding, it's time for you to start a school, sir. Mm-hmm. These are the elements that we need in place if we're going to make this thing grow, right? We need this education. It have to be like how we teach multiplication. We don't care. Everybody needs to know it. There's no benefit I get from keeping it to myself. The benefit is from knowing that everybody could use the skill, which ultimately will be to my benefit. Anyway, we got to go to a break. Thank you, producer. When we get back from the break, we're going to get through these texts and talk a bit more about FTX and who missed the red flags.
J.S. Johnson Insurance. Best reliable service we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best, always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Remember when Zoom was just a sound effect? When your living room wasn't your gym? When a cough didn't scare people away? That was the good old days. And thankfully, they are coming back. As things return to normal, remember, it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, diphtheria, tetanus, measles, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Hey, and let me tell you, this is a song called Bread and Butter. Let me want to let you know that you really work hard for your bread and butter. Don't care what nobody says, he's a hard-working man every day. Watch this. I'm a hard-working man, 7 days a week.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock. With Erin Green, my guest co-host today is Mr. Mark Palmer. Ms. Gail Hanna couldn't join us this morning. And again, that song is Bread and Butter by Ira Storr. And I just want you all to know that we're having this conversation. In no way am I saying that, oh, all Bahamians are lazy and they just waiting for that hit a lick, get rich quick opportunity. Although I think it's important for many of us to acknowledge how we started our empires, our legacies, how we got a foot up, right? Many of us have benefited from finding square groupers in the beach, right? And I think more important is to be honest with each other so we could understand how we got here, so we could chart the course forward. All right, Mr. Palmer, text here. Great show as usual. We fall for election titles every year. We pass gullible. Okay. Aaron, good morning. The crypto market is all a part of the new world order where paper money is not going to value nothing and will be able to have better control. We have our natural resources that the foreigners and everyone else is benefiting from except us. Yeah, Aaron, how Bahamians would have benefit directly from our carbon credits if FTX was to trade it on the international market? Well, no, I think the whole global scheme is like the proceeds go to government and government decides what they're going to do with it out of the options that are available to them provided by these intra-governmental organizations. Another quick text. Good morning, Aaron. The roadworks, patching of holes, etc., are done ever so poorly. There is an area recently repaired after you pass Bayside Executive Building on West Bay heading near Orange Hill. That area was repaired with asphalt, etc. It's the worst road repair work I've ever seen. Driving over it is like going on a roller coaster ride. Wonder who are the quality inspectors to ensure work is done and done to some standard. But listen, dear texter, this is something I was hoping to touch on yesterday, talking about Hurricane Nicole. We need a battalion of structural engineers on the whole western foreshore. Because I don't think y'all, I saw on Sunday the announcement that a tree had blocked the road the Sunday after the flooding Hurricane Nicole. And it suggested to me that the ground was so waterlogged that the tree roots could no longer hold the tree up. A team of structural engineers need to be in that area, given how the flood storm waters came over the seawall. Oh, yeah.
You know, about 2 months ago, I was down at Go Slow Bend, just dipping my feet in the water, and one big chunk of the seawall was already halfway off, you know, on the sand.
And look here.
And you would imagine that's the kind of stuff you need to jump on, you know, because that stuff's rusting like hell.
Whoever is building seawalls in the Bahamas, y'all need to go to Mastic Point and look at, or is it Nicholstown, North Andrus, and go look at the dock that still stand that they build with conch shell and limestone and old rock that's so old you could see the fossils in it, right? Or go to the person who built the Abaco Community Center, the one that became the hurricane shelter in Dorian after the other shelters collapsed, the one where we questioned whether Hubert Ingram had acted appropriately, possibly diverting funds, you know, with the authority of a prime minister to make sure that that was built, not illegally, just focus on your constituency above others. And then we say, but we don't care because that's where the people survived Dorian. Let the person who built that complex
build our seawall.
Build our seawalls. Okay, another text. And we ain't even row yet, Mr. Palmer, about the red flags. Okay. I saw a police officer at East Bay and Johnson Road directing traffic. Ineffective. Johnson Road is a symptom. The problem is that little strip of dirt right at the intersection of Shirley and Village Road. A car navigating it stops for about 3 seconds to slowly crawl across it. That 3 seconds is 5 seconds for the second car in line, then balloons down the line of cars until the person at the back of the line is stopped for an hour and a half. Smooth that strip of dirt. A, smooth the strip of dirt, definitely. B, Bahamians need to be more conscious drivers. They have to assume a different attitude. We want to live the good life like the Japanese, but we don't want to be in the good condition like the Japanese, right? And think in the good condition like the Japanese. We want all them nice things, but we don't want to put in the hard work to get them. You write about the slowing of the time, right? It requires a more conscious driver, and it requires a driver that can rely on other drivers to do what they ought to do when they ought to do it. Another reason cars are slowing down there is exactly what we experienced this morning. Somebody who came speeding up the accessway, who thought that they were going to bully us into prematurely stopping to let them out without stopping at what is a stop sign, whether the road is broke up or not.
So, Aaron, how do you deal with that? Because I bet it's like, you know, the criminals, right? It's probably like 1% of people causing 80% of crime.
Unfortunately, it's more than one,
okay,
just 1%.
Okay, that's an example. But so with drivers, I'm sure it's not everyone, but it's probably a really small percentage. And they seem to be magnetically attracted to you.
No, people see them. People who are thinking critically see them. People who are driving in their phones don't see it. And when people say, oh, Aaron, you see all these things on the road. Yes, because first of all, my insurance agent is one of the best insurance agents in this town. I don't play with her, and she's providing me. When the people hit my car, I get a rental car until my car is fixed. So whatever she tell me to do, I do. And if that means be a responsible driver, then I'm going to do that. Anyway, this was a great text, right? They had another part. So they're saying the cars are slowing down. Here's another thing that happens at Johnson Road, right? It's designed so like a car go, a car flow, a car go, a car flow, right? But the people on the Eastern Road, they get a little mean and they don't want to let the car out. But they don't make it clear, right? And so the traffic becomes stodgy. If you're going to be mean and maintain that barrier, but don't make it look like you're going to let somebody out and then speed up for 3.5 feet. Right? That, but these are things that we are, as drivers, are responsible for. Mm-hmm. And that we could begin to alleviate some of our issues if we just tighten up a little bit, become critical thinkers, become disciplined drivers, focus on the road, focus on what the whole system needs of me, one car, to make it.
I think you're right. You know, a lot of it is to do with, you know, you're not physically there driving the car. You're either listening to music, you're on a phone call, you're chatting with somebody. So, you know, what seems to be really bad and rude to you, it's just because they're not paying attention, right? I'm sure that's a big part of it.
But is
right, multitasking.
But think of it like this. If you say, oh, it's just really bad or rude, then people say, well, rude is perspective. That's you think I rude. I'm okay. It's critical to your traffic flow, right? It's not just that it's rude or, you know, dismissive. It's critical to the flow of traffic. And because 21 people decide, well, what I doing ain't important, it ain't bothering y'all. I need you to know that you are valuable. You're more valuable than you think you are. We need you to make this thing work. And those are the cultural attitudes you find in large places like Japan, where people understand the machine. Like I may be just a piece of dust on the machine, but the machine can't work without me.
They have a word, I forget what it's called, but it's consideration. One thing Japanese are very considerate of others.
Absolutely. Look here, text, black or white, all that glitters is not gold. Due diligence is required. That's why the citizenry needs to get with it when picking leaders for our country. Please consider qualifications and expertise, not just party. And not just that, consider political culture, governance culture. They tend to outweigh even what the laws say. No text, I can't read that, but these drivers are something else. Thank you, Texter. We're all out of time, Mark. I didn't get to row because... one second, producers, you could start playing the music, right? I read this thing where Scaramucci say, I guess you could call it we were duped. I don't know. You know, we didn't see it coming. And you've made some really sound points, right? Like when you see Bill Clinton and Tony Blair at a Crypto Bahamas conference, how you could think that's crooked? Unless, of course, you're Aaron Green. And I told y'all from my seat this way in these dirty tennis, I didn't know, right? Like, oh, it's corruption or it's malfeasance. I just knew that we, the Bahamas government collective, were not paying attention to what was in front of us to maximize that which we could benefit from it. That's all. And I know that because my Grammy look at me every time and say, you ain't ironing them jeans? I say, Grammy, they jeans. She say, you're going out to do foolishness. I could see it. Wise wisdom. Wisdom in the old people. Anyway, we got to go. Thank you, producer. Right. Thank you, Mark. Yeah. Gail, Hannah, we miss you. Hope to see you back next Tuesday. Bahamas, have a great day. Cecil Nuri and Guardian Radio AM is up next. Just a cup of tea. When I'm feeling hungry, I climb the coconut tree. I got chin-